Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Dear viewers, this episode will start off with a new topic, and this is the fifth topic in this series. And this topic actually relates to the collection of the Quran as ascribed to the Caliph Ali رضي الله عنه. Now, the collection of the Quran ascribed to Ali is discussed both in Sunni sources and in the Shiite sources. So inshallah, what we will do in this series, in these episodes which relate to this topic, we shall analyze both these sources separately. We shall discuss the Sunni sources, the way they describe the collection of the Quran attributed to the Caliph Ali, and then we shall discuss the Shiite sources. And obviously, we shall keep on analyzing both these narratives I'll present them before you. So we'll first complete the Sunni topic and then the Shiite topic, and then we shall draw an overall conclusion. Now, in this particular first episode, I'm going to first narrate or read out before you the narratives which are ascribed in this regard regarding the collection of the Quran ascribed to the Caliph Ali رضي الله عنه. And also I shall look at some of the existing interpretations of these narratives. And inshallah, in the next session, we shall then see how these interpretations and these narratives have to be analyzed. Now, as far as the Sunni sources are concerned, we shall begin with the Sunni sources. As far as they are concerned, four people have been ascribed. Four people actually narrate this collection. And I'm going to read out each of these representative narratives, each of these four people. And the first of them is by Ali رضي الله عنه himself, and it has been reported by Al-Haskani in his Shawahid al-Tanzil. And the words are actually Abd al-Khair reports from him, and the words are an Abd al-Khair an Ali annahu ra'a min an-nas at-tayra inda wafati an-nabi inda wafati rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wasallam fa aqsama an la yada ala dhahrihi rida hatta yajma' al-Qur'an فجلس في بيته حتى جمع القرآن فهو أول مصحف جمع فيه القرآن جمعه من قلبه وكان عند آل جعفر. So Abd al-Khair reported from Ali رضي الله عنه that when he saw people in despair and frustration at the death of the Prophet, he swore that he would not wear his cloak on his back until he had collected the Quran. Then he sat in his house and collected the Quran. So it was the first mushaf in which the Quran had been collected from his heart. And this mushaf is with the descendants of Jafar. So this is what Abd al-Khair reports from Ali رضي الله عنه. The second person to have reported a narrative in this regard vis-a-vis the collection of the Quran ascribed to the Caliph Ali is Yaman. And this narrative also has been recorded by Al-Haskani in his Shawahid al-Tanzil. And the words are, An Yaman qal lamma qudiba an-nabi أقسم علي أو حلف أن لا يدع رداءه على ظهره حتى يجمع القرآن بين اللوحين فلم يدع رداءه على ظهره حتى جمع القرآن. The words are, Al-Yaman says, when the Prophet died, Ali swore or made a pledge that he would not put on his cloak on his back until he had collected the Quran between two covers. So he did not put on his cloak on his back until he had collected the Quran. Now the third person to have narrated in this regard is Ikrama. And this narrative has been recorded by Ibn Zurayz in his Fazail al-Quran. And the words in this regard are, An Ikrama, Fima Ahsabu, Qala Lamma Kana Ba'da Bay'ati Abi Bakr رضي الله عنه, Qa'ada Ali ibn Abi Talib fi baytihi, Faqila li Abi Bakr, Qad kariha baytak, فأرسل إليه فقال أكرهت بيعتي فقال لا والله قال ما أقعدك أني قال رأيت كتاب الله يزهد فيه فحدثت نفسي أن لا ألبس ردائي إلا لصلاة حتى أجمعه فقال أبو بكر فإنك نعم ما رأيت قال محمد فقلت له ألفوه كما أنزل الأول فالأول قال لو اجتمعت الإنس والجن على أن يؤلفوا ذلك التاليف ما استطاعوا قال محمد أراه صادقا. So Ikrama said, after people had pledged their allegiance to Abu Bakr, Ali sat in his house. So Abu Bakr was told, he is averse to pledging allegiance to you. He then sent for Ali and asked him, do you dislike pledging allegiance to me? Ali replied, by God, no, Abu Bakr. No, he said, no. Abu Bakr then asked, what kept you away from me? Ali replied, I saw that additions were being made in the Book of God, and I said to myself that I would only wear my cloak to go out for any of the prayers until I have collected it. Abu Bakr then remarked, "What a good opinion you have formed." Muhammad ibn Sirin said, "I asked him, did they compile the Quran according to its sequence of revelation?" He replied, "If all men and jinn get together to arrange it in that sequence, they would not be able to do so." Muhammad ibn Sirin said, "I considered him to be correct in forming this opinion." Now, the fourth person to have recorded a narrative in this regard is Muhammad ibn Sirin. And this narrative has been recorded by Ibn Abi Dawud in his Kitab al-Masahif. And as I said, this has been reported by Muhammad ibn Sirin. So the words are, and Muhammad ibn Sirin qal, لما توفي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أقسم علي ألا يرتدي برداء إلا لجمعة حتى يجمع القرآن في مصحف ففعل فأرسل إليه أبو بكر بعد أيام أكرهت إمارتي يا أبو الحسن قال لا والله إلا أني أقسمت أن لا أرتدي برداء إلا لجمعة فبايعه ثم رجع قال أبو بكر لم يذكر المصحف أحد إلا أشعث وهو اللين الحديث وإنما رأوا حتى أجمع القرآن يعني أتم حفظه فإنه يقال للذي يحفظ القرآن قد جمع القرآن. So Muhammad ibn Sirin said, when the Prophet died, Ali swore that he would not wear his cloak except for the Friday prayer until he had collected the Quran in a mushaf. He said, and he did so. Then after some days, Abu Bakr sent for him and said, are you averse to pledging allegiance to me, O Abu al-Hasan? He replied, by God, the truth is that I had sworn not to wear my cloak except for the Friday prayer. He then pledged allegiance and returned. Abu Bakr from here, I mean, is Abu Bakr ibn Abi Dawud, who is the author of this book. So the end of this narrative actually is a comment by Abu Bakr ibn Abi Dawud himself. So Abu Bakr ibn Abi Dawud said, the only person who has mentioned the word mushaf is Ash'as, and he is Layyin al-Hadith. Others have narrated the words, until I collected the Quran, which means that, of course, not the fact that he had collected between two covers, but as it goes on to explain, that which means that he had finished memorizing it, because he who has memorized the Quran is also called he who collected it. So the word Jamul Quran is, according to this comment by Abu Bakr ibn Abi Dawud, means that it also means to memorize the Quran. Viewers, now we come to the existing interpretations of these four narratives, or perhaps we might not be finding all the interpretations regarding all these narratives, but whatever we find regarding these four narratives vis-a-vis our previous scholars are concerned, I'm going to just summarize those existing interpretations before you, and even the critique which some of them have made on these narratives. Ibn Hajar, while commenting on the narrative of Ibn Sirin, quoted by Ibn Abi Dawud, says that it is weak because of its inqita. And Ibn Hajar has recorded this in his Fathul Bari, which is the Sharh of Sahih al-Bukhari. And he says that, and if it is considered to be correct, then it means that the word collection or jama means memorization. He goes on to say that the words hatta jama'atuhu bayn al-lawhain, which means that until I collected it between two tablets, which occur in certain texts of this narrative, are additions from the narrator. So he says that actually the fact that the collection between two tablets, these words are not the original words, they have been reported by a narrator. Ibn Hajar, he is also of the view that what has been narrated from Abd Khair is more correct and therefore to be relied upon. And then he actually has commented that he thinks that this is not that sound, and what has been narrated by Abd Khair is more sound. And he is actually referring to the narrative which I'm just going to read out, and this is found in Ibn Abi Dawud's Kitab al-Masahif, and the words are, An Abd Khair and Ali radiallahu anhu qal, Rahimullah Abu Bakr, huwa awwalu man jama'a bayn al-lawhain. So Abd Khair reported that Ali said, may God have mercy on Abu Bakr, he was the first to collect the Quran between two covers. So basically you can see that Ibn Hajar is of the view that basically this refers to a memorization of the Quran, and the person who has just mentioned the word mushaf is Ash'as, who is Layyin al-Hadith, who is not sound in Hadith. So his opinion is that it was actually oral collection or a memorization by the Caliph Ali and does not refer to a written collection. Ibn Kasir in his Fazail Quran is also very similar in his approach, and he also thinks that it is perhaps it refers to an oral collection or a memorization by the Caliph Ali. So he says that there is inqita in this narrative, which is obvious because we know that Ibn Sirin is not contemporaneous to the events which are described by him. And we are obviously referring to the interpretation of this of these two scholars vis-a-vis Ibn Sirin's narrative. So he says that the word jam, which the narratives attribute to Ali, refers to memorization and not to a physical collection. He gives preference to what Abu Bakr ibn Abi Dawud himself has said, that no one except Ash'as has reported the word Mus'haf. And he is Laynul Hadith, as we have just referred to. And he says that the words which have been narrated are hatta ajma al Quran, which implies that I completed its memorization, because the word yahfiz al Quran mean qad jama al Quran, which means that the word yahfaza or hafiza means to memorize the Quran. His reason for this preference is that no one has reported from Ali whether in the alleged chronological order. I mean, his preference for this opinion is that no one has reported a Mus'haf from Ali in either the alleged chronological order, because we know that it is said that Ali had collected the Quran in its chronological sequence. So he comments on this by saying that since no one has reported any chronological collection or in any other order, neither in the chronological order nor in any other order, so we will not believe this. He says that there are certain masahif whose script is attributed to Ali but are written the way the Usmanic masahif or the Usmanic Mus'haf is written, and some of them carry the words Katabahu Ali ibn Abu Talib, which is a stark grammatical error. He says that since this is a grammatical error, and it is beyond the imagination, our imagination, that a person like Ali would have made this mistake, because the actual words should have been Katabahu Ali ibn Abi Talib, whereas the actual words are Kataba Ali ibn Abu Talib. So he says that this is beyond Ali to have made this grammatical mistake, and hence he says that this ascription to certain masahif which say that they have been written by Ali, it is extremely doubtful. Now, as far as Zurqani is concerned, he says in his Manahil al-Irfan, he says while commenting on the narrative of Ikrimah. Now, we have just seen that scholars like Ibn Hajar and Ibn Kathir, they have actually commented on the narrative of Ibn Sirin, and whilst they have pointed out that the narrative is broken, and they have made this comment that although it's not reliable, but at best what it can mean is that it refers to a memorization of the Quran by Ali and not to a written collection. Now, Az-Zurqani, while commenting on the narrative of Ikrimah, says that it was a written collection, and like other collections, it was a personal collection and did not possess the correct characteristics of the one collected by Abu Bakr and referred to earlier. So in Az-Zurqani's opinion, it was actually a written collection. It was not an oral collection. He says that it was a personal collection which Ali had made. To this, Abu Shahba, in his Al-Madkhal, he adds that the narrative of Ibn Sirin also does not say that Ali was the first to collect the Quran. So Abu Shahba in his Al-Madkhal is actually commenting on Ibn Sirin's narrative, and he says he's not the first person to have collected the Quran. Hence, it can be construed to mean that it was a personal collection like many others. So why should we say that it was the first collection? It was a collection which many people had made personally. So Ali was one of them. So this is what the opinion of Abu Shahba is. Now let us look at the view of some of the Western scholars in this regard, who have also commented on this collection. So Shwali, who is obviously the student of Maldike, is skeptical of the collection of the Quran made by Ali. He does not regard this to be reliable. He says that the sources which mention these narratives are mostly Quranic commentaries or books of history which have been influenced by Shiism. So this is his first critique. And he says that all these narratives are subjective and contradict strongly established historical incidents. The narratives mention the collection of the Quran by Zayd or later in the time of Usman do not mention any collection by Ali. So he says that since we find other collections which were before Ali, we do not find any reference to this collection. Or if it was the first collection, then obviously Abu Bakr should have made a reference to this collection, but this does not exist. Also, Ali himself does not allude to his collection, neither in time of his own caliphate nor earlier, and it is certain that the Shiites never had any Quran collected by Ali. So this is what Shawli is commenting. He further says that it is not possible to arrange the Quran in its chronological sequence in such a short span of time. And if it is supposed that the time was enough, then the sheer stupendous nature of the task makes it very improbable that it was undertaken. As Muhammad himself had mixed old revelations with new ones in the Quran he was directed to compile. So Shawli is making this comment, and obviously he's made this comment in his Geschichte, this Quran, which is the history of the Quran, which he has revised, revised copy by his own teacher, Theodore Noel Dicke. It is because of this impossible nature of the task that we find no details of the surah lists until after quite some time. So he says that this is, again, the list of surahs in which people think that Ali had compiled the Quran in its chronological sequence or its revelatory sequence, they are found much later. They have come up much later. They were never ever presented by Ali himself or in his immediate era. Moreover, the first six surahs of Ali's Quran, as given by Al-Itqan, do not match all the available chronological lists. He concludes that he had made no such collection and concedes that all this criticism does not negate the fact that Ali could have had a personal collection like other companions. So he is skeptical of the fact that it had any value other than the fact that it could have been a personal collection. So in spite of raising all these questions which I have just presented before you, he says that at best what we can surmise is that he had a personal collection. That too, which is what he said, is at best. He said otherwise, in the first place, his primary opinion is that there was no such collection which Ali could have made. Now, let us also find what Yaqubi, the famous historian, has said in his Tariq al-Yaqubi. Now, as you can see, viewers, on the screen being displayed before you, there is a whole chart of the arrangement of the Quran, which according to Yaqubi, that Ali had collected after the death of the Prophet. It was right after the death of the Prophet he had collected, and it was brought over by him on a camel, and it had seven parts. He then gives details of the surahs each part consisted of, and at the end of each part was written the total number of its constituent surahs. So you can see these seven parts being displayed before you on the screen. And these seven parts contain various numbers of surahs, and all of them have, if you can see, they've given this name that this is Juz 1, Juz 2, Juz 3, Juz 4. Juz 5, Juz 6, and Juz 7, which means that part 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 5, 6, and 7. Now you can see that all these seven Juz or Ajza or seven parts, they have 886 verses. The strange thing is that each of them has 886 verses, and they are made up of different surahs of the Quran. Now, as specified in the chart, you can see. They have 886 surahs, and you can also see that part 1 has 16 surahs, part 2 has 15 surahs, part 3 has 17, part 4 has 15, part 5 has 16, and 6 and 7 also have 16 surahs. So although the verses are equal, they have been equally arranged in all these parts, but we find that each part have various number, the number of surahs in each part is different. Now, as far as interpreting what Yaqubi has put forward, let me first present what Jeffrey, in his materials for the text of the Quran, has said. He says that there are a total of 109. There are a total of 109 surahs, and there are some missing surahs. So, Jeffrey's primary criticism on this list is that it does not display the complete 114 surahs of the Quran. And he points out that Surah Fatiha, Surah Ra'ad, Surah Saba, Surah Tahrim, and Surah Alaq, they are missing. And we have five surahs which are missing. And he further goes on to criticize this arrangement and says that it cannot be relied upon. And the gist of his criticism is that, number one, it is dependent on the surah division of the Usmanic text, which Ali's codex was hardly likely to follow. So this is what he says, that it was hardly likely that Ali would have followed the same surah division as was found in the Usmanic text. The second point of his critique is that this arrangement is in contradiction to what other sources say, that Ali had collected the Quran in its chronological sequence. So why should this be believed? And the third criticism that he makes is that the list itself lacks accuracy. So part 1, which says that it consists of 16 surahs, actually has 15. Part 2, which says that it has 15 surahs, it actually has 16. And part 3, which is said to contain 17 surahs, actually has only 16. And part 7, which is said to contain 16 surahs, actually has 15. So it is again a discrepancy which he has pointed out. Shawli is of the opinion that the list was probably formulated in the Umayyad period, much later. This is what Shawli says, and again, he, while saying this, obviously he's doubting the historicity of this list which is given by Yaqubi. Now, Mahmoud Ramyar, he says that this list is dubious and reflects an effort on the part of the author to arrange the first 7 surahs or the sabutival of the Quran in 7 groups, and looks to be an effort by someone in the 3rd century. So this is what Ramyar says. And when counting the words and verses of the Quran had come in currency. So he says that since in the 3rd century, it was a very common practice to count how many words and how many phrases and sentences does the Quran consist of. So it seems it was a endeavor in that time. It took place in that time. And this is what he has surmised in his Tariqul Quran, Mahmoud Ramyar. Marifa, Abdul Hadi Marifa, in his At-Tamhid fi Ulum al-Quran, he says that this arrangement is a concoction, it's a fabrication, and he asserts that it is against the consensus of scholars according to whom the sequence of Ali's Mus'haf was chronological. So since in his opinion it was a chronological collection, and it is totally against that, this list is totally against that chronological collection, and hence it cannot be relied upon. He also says that it is an effort to arrange the Quran in 7 equal parts, with each part having 886 verses. So this is something which these scholars have put forth, and hence they do not accept that what Al-Yaqubi has presented as a probable sequence of Ali's Mus'haf, these scholars have rejected that. We see that the Western scholars have also rejected that, and even scholars like Ramyar and Abdul Hadi Marfa, who are both exponents of the Shiite thought, they too reject this list. Now, there's one more thing that needs to be presented before we close these existing interpretations, and in the next session, inshallah, we'll analyze them. And this is a narrative by Ibn Nadim, and he has recorded something about the narrative of the codex of Ali Radhi Ta'ala Anhu. And Ibn Nadim in his Al-Fihrist has recorded this narrative, and this narrative is by Abd Khair, and it is Abd Khair actually reports this from Ali himself. So the words are an Abd Khair and Ali alayhi salam annahu ra'a min an-nas tayra inda wafat an-nabi fa aqsama an la yada' an zahrihi ridaa hatta yajma' al-Quran fa jalasa fi baytihi thalatha ayyam hatta jama' al-Quran fa huwa awwalu mushafin jumi'a fihi al-Quran min qalbihi wa kana al-mushaf inda ahli al-Ja'far ahli Ja'far wa ra'aytu ana fi zamanina inda Abi Ya'la Hamza al-Hasani rahimahullah mushafan qad sakata minhu أوراكن بخط علي بن أبي طالب يتوارثه بنو حسن علم الزمان وهذا ترتيب الصور من ذلك المصحف. And as the last word says, that this is the arrangement of the Mus'haf, but we have find nothing beyond this narrative or these lines, anything which actually describes this sequence. So translation would be that Abd Khair reports from Ali that when he found people were in a state of frustration, despair at the time of the Prophet's death, he swore that he would not take off his cloak from his back until he had collected the Quran. So he sat in his house for 3 days until he had collected the Quran. He sat in his house for 3 days and he collected the Quran, wrote it out in 3 days. And then the narrative goes on to say, it was the first Mus'haf in which the Quran was collected from his heart. This Mus'haf was safely lodged with the family of Ja'far, and in my times, this is what he says, in my times, the narrator says, that I saw a Mus'haf written by Ali in the custody of Abu Ya'la. So this is actually Ibn Nadim saying this, that in my times I found this in the custody of Abu Ya'la, Hamza al-Hasani, and owing to the passage of time, some of the pages were missing, and it was found with the family of Banu Hasan, which is obviously the son of Hazrat Ali. And the arrangement of surahs in this Mus'haf was as follows, and then there is nothing. Although it is said that this is the arrangement of the Mus'haf, but there is a gap, there is an absolute empty space, and this arrangement is not described there. So we have this missing part in this narrative. Now, Jeffrey, in his material, says, while commenting on Ibn Nadim's narrative, that the probability is that the reference is to a copy of the Osmanic text made by or for Ali, rather than to his own pre-Osmanic text. So he says that this, at best, is actually a copy of the Osmanic text made by or for Ali. So this is something what he has surmised. So viewers, in this session, we have seen how these four narratives obviously find that not all of our existing scholars have commented on all the four narratives, but we find that Ikrimah's narrative, we find that the narrative which is ascribed to Ibn Sirin, they have been commented upon by our scholars, and they have either critiqued it, or they have rejected it, or they have made this interpretation that some of them say that it was actually a collection which in the mind of Ali as a memorization, and most of the others who think that this narrative was of the category of a written thing, they are skeptical about that. But again, this is something which we will discuss in detail, inshallah, in the next session. For the moment, or for this session, I just wanted to present before you these four narratives and the way they have been looked by our authorities. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات.